Our scripture this evening is, first of all, from Deuteronomy 18, beginning to read with verse 15, and then we will turn to Acts chapter 3, and there the verses 22 and 23. Before we do that, let us seek God's illumination. Our God and Father, we pray that as we look to your word this evening, may we indeed have our eyes opened and guided, our hearts and ears ready to hear and receive what you would teach us, and may your Spirit lead us unto that end. In Jesus' name and for his sake, we do pray. The Word of God then from Deuteronomy 18, beginning to read with verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, "Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die." And the Lord said to me, "They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, 'How may we know the word that the Lord has not spoken?' When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken, and the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him." Then we turn to Acts chapter 3. There the verses 22 and 23. This is Peter and John the day after Pentecost speaking at the temple. Again, the word of God. And he says, "Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people.'" Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. Some have referred to the context of the life that we are involved in today as information overload. We have provided to us more information and faster than ever before. Even to the point that not very long ago, we would have never thought possible. We can argue about the positive or the negative of that. Of course, with everything, good gift that God gives us, such as computers and cell phones, there is always ways in which people immediately find to use them for evil. But there certainly is an opportunity to be aware and to know of things virtually instantaneously as they happen at any point and in any place across the world. Very often, at least from my perspective, there's a lot of things that we see as we open up Facebook that we would just soon not see. But the real issue is not how fast or even how much information we have. Rather, where did you go to for your truth? What do you rely on? Where do you look to? The Bible is very clear that there is only one source of truth. It is God. either by his revelation in the creation or in his spoken word. There is, in fact, no other information. There is no one else who speaks. The prophet Habakkuk says that the Lord is in his temple. No one else speaks. So we want to be clear, God does speak. We will also note the means. How does he speak? What does he use? Where do we go to for his information? And what does he say? So as we look at the portion of scripture that John or Peter quoted from Deuteronomy, we want to see how God speaks today. And so we begin, actually, just simply with this fundamental truth. It's the point at which we begin, that God is a God who speaks. And he is the source, and he is the source alone, ultimately, for all truth, for all information. Anything else that is out there is a denial of God. So how do we know what God says? And by what means he says it? We begin simply with Christ himself. In John 1:1 we read, "In the beginning was the Word." In creation itself, God is creating, and the Word of God and person of Christ is involved in that creation. And the point is that God spoke in his creation. Literally means that in the original state, Adam knew who God was. That is, he knew the truth of God himself. It's implanted in God, in him, virtually by means of what God said in the creation of man. And yes, in addition to God spoke to Adam in the garden, which is further based on man being created in the image. Not only in the fact that man is created in the image of God, but literally in all of God's creation, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and you look at light today and you examine it, you look at it from a laboratory point of view or from whatever point of view, you are reading the Word of God because it is made by God. We speak of that as general revelation. And yet, as I mentioned, Adam in the garden, God placed within man a knowledge of God. It's further based on man being created in the image of God. And even at that, God yet spoke directly to Adam. And the fundamental truth that we begin then is, as I said it a moment ago, is that man created has the truth of creation and the truth of God within him. It's no mystery where truth comes from. It's not really a question. It is a reality. It is there. God is a God who speaks. Now, of course, we are all very much aware that something happened to distort that reality. Satan rebelled, and Satan convinced Adam that there is, in fact, some other truth. You can be gods yourself. You see, the revelation of truth belongs to God. And the lie that Satan put forward, the lie that Adam believed, is that there is some other source of truth out there. It's the falsehood. It's become part of the reality. Understand this about what Satan said, continues to say, that he is in fact an imposter. He is not any source of truth. Like there are two competing ones, which ones are going to win out? He takes the truth of God and distorts it and convinces men of that reality. And God is the only one who speaks. There is none other. So with the fall into sin, even though God has placed the truth of Himself in the heart of man, with the fall into sin, he's blind to seeing that. He refuses to see that. He turns away from that reality. And more important, there can be no communication with God. Adam hid from God as soon as he sinned when God called out to him. But God does come to man. That's again the reality of God being a God who speaks. That God finds man in his rebellion, in his blindness, in his distorted sense of truth that he's been led to by Satan, and he speaks the truth, which is now the word of redemption. Because you see, from the moment on, and all of reality then, because that became part of the initial reality, what we have contained in the Scriptures from the beginning to the end is God's revelation by which God makes known to man the gospel, redemption. God wants man to know what He has done for man's salvation. That is what this book is. It comes to you by the Word of God, the God who speaks. Now, in the initial revelation, the basic foundation of the good news, God spoke directly. He came to Adam and Eve. Actually, it's a very interesting sort of scene. But he spoke initially to Satan, to the serpent. But he did so in the presence of Adam and Eve. And he announces that there's going to be continuing life when Adam and Eve deserve nothing but death, and they know it. They thought that life was over with. And they hear the words of God about the seed of the woman, which means life is going to continue. And God speaks to Noah. God speaks to Abraham. But when it came time for God to deal corporately with His people, as He identified a people with the leadership of Moses, God spoke to His people by Moses. You will remember the context in which God had called the people to come to meet with Him at Mount Sinai, and it was a terrible experience, and the people said, "Don't let God speak to us anymore. You, Moses, you go speak to God." And God said, "I will raise up a prophet who will speak like Moses." God provides for the spokesman. Now we see Peter preaching here on the day of Pentecost and talking to God's people who had crucified Christ because they had followed the falsehood. So he's talking about the falsehood under which they had labored. And he points out their ignorance in not receiving Christ. And he points to a basic concept of revelation. Christ speaks through a prophet, and especially the prophet. Again, the words of verse 22, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him and whatever he tells you." He is answering the problem which Israel had in the wilderness. Israel needed direction. Yes, these were the people that God brought out of Egypt. These were the people that God had remembered His covenant with. But they needed God to speak to them. And they could not hear God. The problem which every person has. God must speak to you for you to know truth. God must speak to you for you to know truth. The point is, Moses tells Israel, and Peter here reminds all of us, that God has made for such a provision. Even though God put Adam and Eve out of the garden, and God said, and as Adam had hid from God, that relationship of perfect fellowship and communication to God was broken, and God, man now has to come to God through sacrifice and through all the means of worship in the Old Testament until we get to the coming of Christ and His work. But again, God has provided fundamentally throughout His Scriptures so that His Word comes to His people. As the prophet said in Ezekiel 34, my people are out there. They're still in darkness. I will go and find them and call them. I will send a prophet. So to fully appreciate what that means, we need to see the fact that he says, not just a prophet, but a prophet like Moses. A prophet like Moses. You will remember that as Moses was walking along and he found himself before God, as God spoke to him from the burning bush. And God tells Moses that he is going to send Moses to Egypt to bring his people out from slavery. So we have this outward picture in Egypt, in the Exodus of redemption. And God is bringing that about by sending Moses to speak to the people. And listen to these words. Now let us be reminded in Exodus 3, starting with verse 13. It says, then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? You see, there's always that question, well, how do I know that's God speaking? Who is he? What shall I say to them? He said, God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. What we understand is that the reference to being a prophet like Moses is a specific reference that when he speaks for God. He is literally the mouthpiece for God. It is through Moses, the prophet, God speaking. Yes, we have an entire set of prophets in the Old Testament who speak to the people about the Word of God, but none of them are like Moses and that they are themselves the spokesperson or the mouthpiece, if you will, of God, except for Christ. And that is what Moses himself told the children of Israel that God would do. This is what Peter now reminds us and his audience, that God had promised and that he sent his Son. He is the Word of God. He is the prophet in the flesh. In him we hear God speaks. What all of this means is that God is indeed a God who speaks. He has placed his Son in the office of prophet. That is, he has provided for you that you might be able to know God. That is, in him is salvation. He has spoken clearly what he has done for your salvation, and with the opening of your eyes through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that you have redemption, you now also have the truth of life. God has delivered on his promise. Now, very often we catch ourselves as though there were some sort of competition. You will hear about such and such a person had a debate with this atheist or so on and so forth. Or we hear ourselves about what we find on the college or the university campus. And they're sort of the sense, well, these people are so well versed and they know everything, and how can we argue with them? How can we keep up with them? As though there was some sort of a competition of two different sets of truths. And we enter into a debate or an accusations and we see, well, who won? Which truth won out? And we look at different religions. The stuff which comes out of the centers of academia by the experts. And we feel like we really don't know if we can keep up with them. Now, certainly we do need to engage. We do need to know the Word. We need to know it well. We need to be able to demonstrate that God is the God who speaks simply from His Word. But know this, it is never a competition between two or more sources or realities. It is always between what is truth and what is falsehood. The truth comes from God and is spoken clearly. The prophet has been sent to speak. Do not let anyone say to you, well, that's your idea about God. No, the truth is what God has spoken. Christ speaks. We are told, even in the New Testament, in Romans, that in the corporate gathering of God's people, the faithful preaching of the Word of God is, in fact, again, Jesus, the Word of God, speaking directly to His people. It's not a mystery whether the word is truth or not, because Christ Himself speaks that word. Now, Jesus died that we might have life. The sinner is called upon to embrace this gospel message and believe in Jesus the Savior. Yes, their relationship with God. How does one come to that? How have you come to know, in fact, that that is true? That Jesus is your Savior? In the very same way that Adam and Eve found out that they would, in fact, not die as they deserved, but would live simply by the fact that God told them. God told them. They heard what God said, and knowing that it was the Word of God, they believed. Let us be clear, there is no faith in Christ, which is not, at least to some extent, an informed faith. For you to trust in Christ for salvation, you must have heard the message of redemption. Yes, there are those who cannot literally hear, but they have received the word. There are those saved who never reach the age of listening and comprehension and all of these. But God works in their hearts. But the scripture is clear, reflected in our confession. God builds His church by calling His people, by making known the gospel. What we've been speaking about this evening is what we understand and is made reference to in Heidelberg Catechism 31, where it speaks about the three offices that Christ is anointed to, and that first office that He's our chief prophet and teacher, that we might know the message of the gospel. It's the context of this passage. Now, having clearly made that promise of the prophet, Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit, does make a particular emphasis, and we need to look at this carefully as well. What a great thing it is that we do have a God who speaks, that we do have a God who finds us, even all those who from eternity has determined to bring to salvation. God will find them, and they will hear the message. That's the promise that we have in Scripture. But here is also the promise. In verse 23, and Peter is very clear to remind the people of that very fact. in Acts 3, verse 23, "And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people." Just as the prophets in the Old Testament warned that if they spoke something and claimed it to be the word of God when it was false, they would die. There is only one word of truth from God. It is spoken by God through His prophet Jesus Christ. And there is only one possibility if that word is not listened to, because then it is the rejection of Christ and the failure to turn to God in response to the message delivered by the prophet as the word of God. Those who do not receive the word are not just missing out on some really good news, some really great advantage of living. They are not just deciding to follow another path, and whatever works for them, well, that's fine, it works for them. It is, in fact, a matter of life and death. Failure to hear the prophet results in utter destruction. That's also the truth which God reveals in His Word. Now we have before us clearly the ultimate fact. Hear the prophet, have life, do not hear, and have death. But understand, the prophet brings the full Word of God. Why would you want to listen to someone? You know, I think so often when we look at our life and we say, well, that's great, that's about my salvation. I listen to the Word, I study the Scriptures, it helps me to understand that I have salvation someday. But when it comes to this other part of my life, or this other part of my life, and we look up at the so-called experts, yes, people has allowed even those who do not hear His Word to still be able to, because all truth comes from Him. And so there's still a great deal of knowledge that certain people have. Unbelievers can build airplanes and fly them, and we don't have to worry because they didn't hear the Word of God. But when it comes to living in your life, why would you want to listen to someone who has rejected the truth of salvation in Christ? So you know who? You know Christ by His Word. Why would you not also seek His Word to fully, in a God-honoring way, seek to hear what He says about life in all of its aspects? To have heard the prophet and yet say the prophet does not speak to me about this part of my life makes no sense. You would be rejecting the truth of the prophet whose truth about salvation you claim to listen to. The warning remains serious. You want to know truth? You want to know how to live your life? You want to know what God wants you to do tomorrow and this week? You want to know the information which is really important? Hear the prophet which God has sent. Listen to him. It is the way to life abundantly. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are so in need of your word. Let us not be as Adam and Eve who hid when God called. But let us know that the way has been opened, that God has sent his prophet to find us when we are hidden. Open up our eyes, we pray, and our ears and our hearts to listen, that we might follow in all of the aspects of life. May your truth be the truth that we adhere to, that we submit to, and that we live a life fully as you have intended. Forgive our sins, we ask, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.